get on our feet.
Is there anyone who has not heard or read the story of the Magi coming to see the baby Jesus? It's probably everyone here has heard this before. So, again, we have to work a little harder to stay in the room and remember, okay, maybe there's something new for us here in this scripture. In the time of King Herod, that was a name that sent shivers through so many people. King Herod, he was nuts, certifiable, nuts. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east, way far away in the east, came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Yeah, right. When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The message this morning is going to be based on this hymn. We're going to look at this hymn slowly, verse by verse. And it's amazing when things that we're so familiar with, like this hymn, I'm assuming, there's probably no one here that doesn't know this song. Is that right? I mean, this is pretty familiar to most of us, if not all of us. Okay. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Hallmark and the other greeting card companies and the companies that make these creches have pretty much just followed along with a church tradition. And on the one hand, it's beautiful. On the other hand, it's not quite kosher. Because these guys, the camels, and these guys with the crowns on their heads, the magis, the kings, the wise men, here's the other one, they didn't get here yet. They wouldn't have been here at his birth scene. But it's okay. We won't have to be picky. Just so that you know, the first verse, that is accurate. They had to start out from, I think it's now Iran, Persia, then. And they could have taken over a year to follow that star all the way to Bethlehem. It was a long journey. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. It was a long, long, and sometimes dangerous and arduous journey. So we're here on Epiphany Sunday. Here's, as you mentioned, the light. My image for Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is a weird word. It's a churchy word. We don't use it that often in common speech. So here's the image for Epiphany. You ever see a cartoon when somebody gets a great new idea? What do you see drawn over their heads? Yeah, and it goes on. The light. Ah, the light with me. I get it now. Epiphany. It's a revelation. And they follow the star, the beautiful symbol of following the light, to find the Christ. So let me ask you, was 2018 an arduous, difficult, long journey for some of us here? Is there anybody else here who is kind of glad to say 2018 is in the rearview mirror now, and I'm glad for much of it? Not all of it, certainly. Anybody else have a difficult journey through 2018? Some of us didn't. Some of us did. Some of us are still baby steps on that journey. This was a long journey. So I want to go from 2,000 years ago to right here and now in this room. The Magi, the wise men, their journey is our journey. They had to go physical distance to go see the Christ. We have just as hard of a journey. It doesn't have to take us hundreds or thousands of miles, but it has to take us through rough terrain because it takes us inward. And some of the places we encounter inside of ourselves are just as bad as the thieves along the road and the thugs who would take advantage of anybody when they weren't looking. Some of the stuff that goes on inside of us can really stop us in our tracks. Yes? Did any of you experience a difficult journey through 2018? Well, this is Epiphany Sunday. It's time for a new start. Take hope. As a deer pants for streams of water, says Psalm 42, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet God? Any of us ever been where that psalmist is? When, God? Well, maybe today can be the start of when. The second verse. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever ceasing, never over us all to reign. It's funny, when you sit down and really look at something carefully, I never noticed this until this week. This is a little weird. These are kings. This is accurate. You know, they've got crowns on them. Kings are bringing gold to crown the newborn king. No, wait a minute. Think through that. Kings are selfish with their power. Kings have their kingdom. They're not going to give it to somebody else. Kings are bringing gold to crown the Christ as a king higher than them. That is not done. That would be like the president of the United States going to inaugurate another president now, before elections, and giving the presidency to somebody else. That is not done. Did you ever see that in this hymn? Kings are going to crown a king higher than they are. Gold. Fewer things were more precious. And they're taking that willingly and knowingly. So what do you and I bring in our search in this new year for the Christ? What do you bring, what do I bring that's worth more, so much more, that I really don't want to give it up? Your answer will be your answer. Mine will be mine. What is that? And are we willing to give it over to Christ the King, who is greater than we are? God, you are more precious than silver, as one of the praise songs says. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Christina Rossetti wrote a poem. It was set to music. It's in our hymnal. It's called In the Bleak Midwinter, and the fourth verse says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give him? I give him my heart. What's more valuable? What are we more reluctant to give, especially if our heart's been broken? When we consider how precious this gift is and how costly it could be to us to give our hearts over, then consider what God gave to us. God so loved the world, and I bet you most of you can finish it, that he gave what? You got it. God gives of God's self. Gold. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high. It just has this swinging cadence to it, doesn't it? Any of you ever smell frankincense? It's wonderful. It was considered the incense. I mean, it was spare no expense. You get frankincense. That's reserved for the best. That's reserved for royalty. That's reserved only for the special, special, special occasion. It's the best. There was a guy in one of my churches. His name was Jimmy. And every Sunday, Jimmy wore the same cologne, and it drove my wife, Linda, crazy because she loved it. And week after week after week, year after year, she kept asking Jimmy, "What are you wearing?" He wouldn't give it up. Zip. No, he wouldn't say. Because she wanted to buy it for me. Jimmy was the only one who wore it. He was going to keep it that way. The very last Sunday we were in this church, he finally gave it up and told Linda what it was. You know, I don't even remember at this point. But you could be in the congregation and you could close your eyes, or you could be blindfolded, and Jimmy would walk in and pass your pew, and all you'd have to do is, "Yep, Jimmy's here." You'd know, because he was the only one who gave off that fragrance. So here's a weird question, a weird way to ask it. What do you and I give off so that when we are present, what do the people around us notice? What comes off of us? That when we leave the room, it lingers and we're remembered by, what is that? Before, the followers of Jesus were known as the Way. Before that. Before the name Christ follower, Christian, was coined. Before that. Before there was any church. Before any buildings. Before it was ever even called, when you gathered in a house, "Well, this is a church." Way before all of that, the people who followed Jesus, the first followers of Jesus, had a reputation. And it was out in the streets. It was out in society. They started to become known and identified by a fragrance, so to speak. Does anyone here know how people identified with them? What they were known for? Let me get you started. You might be able to... Somebody here might guess this. See how they... one another. See how they love one another. Isn't that a great way to be known? That's Jimmy. They watch us as Christians. Yeah, they're Christians, all right. Look at how they love each other. Wow. Isn't that not a great fragrance to give off? Myrrh is mine. This is the joyful verse. Yeah. Myrrh is mine, bitter its perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the dark stone cold tomb. Bleh. You thought in the bleak midwinter was bad. Snow upon snow upon snow, ground of iron. But look at the verse before it, and you see there's a cadence that parallels in opposite. This is sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, voices raising. These are bookends, or two sides of the same coin. When I was in Israel, they use what they have, and they have a lot of rock. To be specific, they have a lot of limestone. And limestone is soft. And so they make a lot of things out of limestone, including the manger Jesus was put in was probably a solid block of limestone about this high and about 3-4 feet long, and it would hollow it out and put the hay in there. They were very, very common. And back over to the creche, yes, they had stables. Yes, they had wood. They had a lot of rock. And they had a lot of hills, and they had a lot of caves. And so a stable could just as often be a cave that's tunneled out of the limestone. So from out here, outside the entrance, you look at this and you don't know, is that a stable or is that a tomb? Frankincense and myrrh were both often mixed together and put on the cloths that were wrapped around to embalm the body. So he starts in a cave and he ends, no, wait, doesn't end. God doesn't leave it end there. He's broken free from a cave. It's like bookends. Frankincense and myrrh, stable and tomb, and neither can hold him. He doesn't stay there. Myrrh is used to seal in the sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. What myrrh do you need for 2019? We often make a mistake as Christians, and it's so common that when I start to say it, you may say, well, I know that, but it's worth a reminder. If I become a Christ follower and I say, Jesus, you're the guy now, you lead me all the way to God, now I'm not going to suffer anymore, right? I'm never going to be unhappy anymore, right? I mean, that as a new Christian, that's often a mistake. It's a mistake. There is no such thing as a suffering-free life. There isn't. We can't change that. But maybe it's time that we need to let go of something. Maybe it's time that you and I need to let something die in our lives that is causing our suffering. That we can change. Do you hear me? What is your myrrh? What do you need to wrap up reverently and leave at the side of the road and then start walking into 2019? What keeps you from reaching the Christ? Maybe it's time to let that go. Now the final verse. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. This is resurrection. Resurrection is so common, and we talk about it, and our next big season will be Lent that leads us up into Easter. That's resurrection. But what is it in this room right now this morning? What is it in your life and in mine right now? It is here. Because whether stable or cave, tomb, he doesn't stay here. So you and I don't have to journey miles and miles and miles and years and months and whatever and all of 2019 to link up with Christ. He's here now. Right now. He is our star who guides us to God. And he's here right now. when Jesus picked up this loaf of bread at the end of the supper, he took resurrection, which the prophets talked about, and they knew about it here, and he brought it right to the table where they sat. Present tense, now. He said, "Remember my body broken for you." The Christ is here. He picked up the cup that was the Elijah cup. Nobody drank from that cup. You're not supposed to. It's just ceremonial. It sits on the table. You leave the door ajar. Elijah's supposed to show up. It's a nice tradition, yada, yada, yada. No, he picks it up and he says, "All of you share in this. Every one of you drink from this. My blood shed for you." And it's now. Resurrection is now. You and I are going to eat of this loaf. We are going to drink of this cup. And right now, they're up here on the table. I'm not even touching them. They're outside of you and me, and they're separate from us. If that's the way you feel Christ is, then this table's for you. Because this bread is literally going to become a part of our tissues, our molecules, our eyesight, our movement. This cup and this juice is going to be a part of you and me. Not out there, not up here, here. The journey to the Christ is a journey that's as short and as hard and as long as going from here to here. Here he is. We are all welcome. I invite the communion helpers forward. As you get set up, we will lead into communion with this responsive prayer. Sorry. Please join with me in the bold print. Loving God, we praise you in this new year. We praise you that whatever the future holds, we know that it is held in your hands. The Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We look back at this past year and we see that you have been with us, provided for us, led us in your ways. We are your people and the flock which you provide. We praise you for Jesus Christ. We have celebrated at Christmas that you became one of us, that you lived among us and showed your great love and mercy, that you gave your life for ours and in being raised to life again have given us fresh beginnings and new life in you. For the Lord is good. We look forward this new year, unable to see beyond the next bend or over the horizon, yet we are prepared to follow you. Our lives are in your hands. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. We confess our sins to you. We have done what we should not do and left undone what we should do. We have either thought too highly of ourselves and not cared enough for others, or we have thought too little of ourselves and allowed ourselves to be written off as worthless. Forgive us, Lord. As we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We give thanks and bless your name. Thank you for sending your Spirit upon us, leading us into truth and empowering us to live and witness to you. May we be filled afresh this new year to follow you more closely and share your love with the world all around us. We worship the Lord with gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.